Amen. It's a good time to rejoice, for sure. Amen. Take your Bible, if you will, and let's open them to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. I'm going to begin reading down about verse 8, and I hope you have your Bible and you'll follow along with us. I'm going to be pointing over here a lot, because my son told me today on the phone, he said, I haven't had anybody pointing at me and preaching to me in a good while. So I told him I'd make up for lost time, all right? It would have been easier if he had just sat on the front row, you know. I could have just nailed him right there. All right, you got your Bible open. Let's read there, beginning in verse 8, Exodus chapter 17. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. I'm going to leave off reading there, and you know, I spoke to you last week out of this same chapter, and I mentioned to you that that word Rephidim, it says there in Exodus 17, verse 1, that all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. That word means place of rest, but it turned out to be anything but that for the nation of Israel. While they were there, it seemed like they faced just one problem after another. You know, first there was the lack of water, and boy, that caused trouble. And now we see here as we come to verse 9 that Amalek has showed up, and verse 8, and they came to fight with Israel, all right? They're there to make war against them. And, you know, I can't help but think there's so many lessons to be learned in the Word of God. One thing comes out of here to me, look, trials are a part of life. Trials will always be a part of life. The book of Job, chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, man is born unto trouble. Man is born unto trouble. We are. You say, well, why'd I have so much problems? Man is born unto trouble, all right? Trials are just simply a part of life. But at the same time, I'll say this to you. Trials are also opportunities for blessings. Trials are also opportunities for blessing. We don't like the trial, but we do like the blessing, okay? We do like the blessing. And the more that we'll learn to deal with the trial, the better it can be for us as we learn to deal with the trial the way we should, and then God bless us because of it, all right? And so he sends those trials, and we think about the Israelites. Man, they've had a lot of trials. And as soon as they got out of Egypt, you know, they started facing problems, and the sad fact is most of the time they didn't do too well when they faced the trial. Here in chapter 17, they didn't do too well when they faced that trial with the lack of water, all right? It wasn't a good thing. There was difficulties, all right? But the good thing is there is no indication whatsoever that they faltered at all facing the Amalekites. There's no indication that when they faced that trouble and realized the Amalekites had come to make war against them, they stepped up to the challenge. They did it without murmuring. They did it without complaining. Just not a negative word whatsoever about them in dealing with the Amalekites. What a blessing that is, all right? Because every other trial, Moses had to deal with a murmuring, griping bunch. But, hey, they stepped up. So just a few things I want us to look at tonight in this passage. First of all, I want you to see the wisdom of Moses. The wisdom of Moses. Look at verse 9. Moses said unto Joshua. First time we found his name in the Bible. First time he shows up. And notice what happens. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. He said, I want you to choose us some men to go do the fighting. All right? Moses picked Joshua. I'm sure it was just any, meeny, miny, mo, you're the one that's going to go, right? No, I don't believe that at all. I don't think you do. I don't think you believe that one bit in the world. I don't believe it was an accident. Hey, I'll tell you this. Moses picked the winner when he picked Joshua. Moses picked the winner, all right? But I believe Moses picked the one God had picked. I believe that because I believe Moses, one thing we learned about Moses, he's learned to pray. When you're faced with a trial and you're faced with a problem, you'll find over and over again he goes to God and says, now, Lord, what do you want me to do, all right? And I think we have the same kind of situation here. He says, Lord, we've got some folks coming to fight us. And now remember, I don't know if you remember this, but when they came out of Egypt, remember God told them, go this way because I don't want you to go in by way of the Philistines because they're a warlike folks and you're going to have to fight and you're not ready for that. But here they are now. And there doesn't seem to be hesitation, all right? Doesn't seem to be any hesitation. God's dealt with them. God's prepared Moses. Moses is prepared, and maybe they've been training people. They must have been doing something because they were ready for the battle. And Moses, he first thing he says when Amalek comes to fight, it's Joshua. What a winner he picked. You know, one thing you and I learn is sometimes we read the scriptures and never think, well, what's that got to do with me? Now, we're not having to fight Amalek, okay? We're not, the Amalekites are not coming against us. But what can we learn, though? What can we do here that'll help us? I'll tell you this, the people you and I pick to surround us in life are going to make a difference in your success or your failure. The people that you pick to surround yourself with, all right? They're going to make the difference whether you're a success or a failure in life. If you'll pick some people that's got some wisdom, some folks that you can go to, the Bible says in the multitude of counselors there's safety. Well, who do you pick to be your counselors? Who do you pick? Who do you surround yourself with? Well, I'm going to surround myself with the best ball players in the world. Well, it's okay if you got a ball team, I guess. But if that's all that's there, I mean, they're going to help you through life, okay? They're going to get you through life. You need to be careful who you pick to surround yourself. Now, I believe it with all my heart. I've said it. Some of the greatest people you'll ever pick to be around you isn't found in the house of God. People that love the Lord, people that know how to get a hold of God in prayer. Man, I'll be honest with you. If I need a touch from heaven, I'm not calling the best ball player I know. I want to get a hold of the best Christian I know, don't you? Well, we need to surround ourselves with those kind of people in life, people that know the Lord, people that know how to get a hold of God, people that have been successful for years serving the Lord, and I can follow their example. They've got some wisdom I can draw from. Boy, that's the kind of people you need to surround yourself with. Moses had some. I believe they were already pointed out to him. I believe he had prayed. And God had already said, yep, there's one. Hey, I believe Aaron and Hur, two more. I believe two more that men that God had picked out, all right? Moses surrounded himself with some good men. Boy, we need to surround ourselves with good people. Good people. People that are going to help us stay straight. Not people that will help you get in trouble. There are people in your life, you got together with them, you'd get in trouble. Now, if you were kids, that's one thing, okay? But if you're an adult and the people, if there's somebody you get around with, you know I'm going to get into trouble, I'm going to be doing something I shouldn't be doing, then you ought not to get around that person. Find you somebody's going to help you do right, okay? Somebody's going to point you in the right direction. Not somebody's going to take you down. So we see the wisdom of Moses, but then I want you to see the diligence of Moses, would you? Look there in verse 10. Verse 10, here they are, and he's already told Joshua in verse 9, he said, you're going to fight Amalek tomorrow, and he said, I'm going to go stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And the Bible tells us he did that. He went up there. Aaron and Hur went with him, and Moses, when he held up his hand, the Bible said Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now, you and I, we read the Bible. And sometimes we read the Bible and we go, that's kind of strange. There are some strange accounts in the Word of God. You get over in the book of Joshua, and there was a need there. Joshua, they were fighting and battling, and the Bible said Joshua asked the sun to stand still, and God held it up so they had a longer day to win the battle. Now, that's an odd occurrence, okay? Here we are, Moses, the leader of Israel, but he wasn't the one to lead them into battle. He was their leader, but the military leader was Joshua. But that didn't mean Moses didn't still have a duty to perform, to contribute to the battle. Now, most everybody else would look at it and think, all right, Moses said, now my part's go up on top of that hill and hold up this rod. Now, what would you think if somebody told you that's the key to battle? Well, if you'd never read this story, never heard it, you'd think you're a little bit loose between the ears. I don't see where that's going to do any good. That's not going to help. It may seem like a strange thing to do, but you know, you read through the Bible, God often calls upon us to do things that don't make sense to the world. For instance, the Bible says if you want to have, then learn to give. Learn to give. Now, we'd look at it completely opposite way. If you want to have it, well, you take all you can, you hoard it up, invest it, no. Bible says if you want to have, you learn to give. Learn to give. Not only that, there one I think is even a little bit more odd is if you want to be exalted, then learn to humble yourself. Bible over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 instructs us, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So, somebody put it this way, the way up is down. That we say, well, it doesn't make any sense. Not to the world. Not to the world. But God tells us to do some things. And God, he's continually testing you and I. Are we going to be obedient to him? Continually running that. Let's see how much you really trust me. And he did it here with Moses. Moses was told, I don't believe it was just an arbitrary thought of Moses to go up there. I believe God instructed him to go. And Moses passed the test in doing just what God said. Just what God said to do. So he raised that rod up, held it up. The Bible said as long as he held that rod up, that Israel prevailed. When he lowered it down, the Amalekites prevailed. Now, I've thought about it. How did he hold the rod up? Did he hold it up this way? Or did he hold it up this way? How did he hold it up? You say, well, what difference does it make? None, but don't you ever think about things like that, all right? He held that rod up, okay? He held that rod up, all right? Now, in studying for this message, people said, well, they think some of that symbolized prayer. You say, where do they get that from? Look in Psalms 28, would you? Psalms 28. Psalm 28, if you would. Psalm 28, look, if you will, there in verse 2, all right? Verse 2, the Bible says, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. When I pray and lift up my hands, go to the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look in verse 8 here, all right? Notice what the Word of God says. The Bible says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath, and doubting. So some say, well, that holding up of those hands and lifting up that rod symbolized prayer. Maybe so. I believe with all my heart he was praying. I believe Moses was there praying for success and praying for God to bless and to help the Israelites in the battle. I believe he held it up for that reason. But you say, did it symbolize prayer? I can't prove that to you at all. But I believe with all my heart, and I am totally convinced that raising that rod symbolized the great power of God. And you just think about it. Think about it. Moses, he had seen the power of in that rod, if you will, several times. The nation of Israel had witnessed it, all right? It was that rod way back there in Egypt that he would cast down and become a serpent. And then the Egyptian wizards, you know, they cast down their, magicians cast their rods down, and they turned into snakes too. But hey, it was that rod of Moses became a snake that ate all those other snakes. Exemplifying the power of God and the supremacy of the power of God. And it was that same rod that when they got to the Red Sea and Moses stretched forth his hand with that rod in that hand, and God parted those waters, opened up the sea where the nation could cross it on dry land. What? Power of God. The power of God. It was that same rod that Moses used here earlier in chapter 17 to strike the rock and the water gushed out. Hey, enough water to water all the children of Israel and all their stock, all their cattle. Why? Just the power of God in the obedience of Moses to use what was in his hand, a symbol of the great power of God. And listen, it was God's power that was now needed to fight the Amalekites. It was God's power that was needed. Oh man, that's the kind of power you and I, we need it in our life today. We need it in our lives. We're going to have to fight some battles. We're going to have some trials. We're going to have some struggles. Say, how am I going to overcome them? I hope you'll do it with the power of God. Leaning on Him, trusting Him, calling upon Him, obeying Him. We need His power. We need His power. They needed it in that day. We need it today. We need it today. So we see, man, the diligence of Moses to do exactly what God said to do, to hold it up. But we also see the weakness of Moses. If you've ever had to hold your arms up or hold something up for a while, you know what it is. It really usually doesn't last very long, and your shoulders begin to get tired. I mean, you've got it up, but it starts drooping. Put it back up. It'll droop again, all right? It'll do it again. I can remember putting up sheetrock in the ceiling and standing there on a scaffold or usually on a board over a couple of, you know, saw horses, and you're trying to walk the tightrope of that board and you're holding that sheetrock up. I can remember saying, start nailing, I can't hold it much longer, all right? And because you get weak, all right? You just can't do it, can't hold it up. Well, we see the weakness of Moses there in verse 12. Notice the Bible said, but Moses' hands were heavy. Hands were heavy. Now think with me a little bit. The Bible doesn't tell us that Joshua got weak or weary in the battle. Nor the Bible says. It wasn't Joshua down there in the physical fight and those men that got weak in the battle. Instead, it was Moses. It was Moses there on the hill. Now, I submit to you, the battle that was going on the hill was more important than the battle going on in the valley. You say, why? Because what was going on the hill was a spiritual battle. That was a spiritual part, all right? Oftentimes, you and I have more physical strength than we do spiritual strength. We may have physical strength. We can stand the physical test, but it's the spiritual test that causes us to stumble. It's the spiritual test that causes us to get weak and begin to let our arms down, okay? It's that spiritual battle, all right? Hey, it's in the spiritual battle. It's on the spiritual plane that we need help. That's where we need help more than we do anything else. Listen, we've been giving you prayer requests. That's a spiritual battle. That's a spiritual battle. You know, sometimes people are facing sickness. You can take food to them and help their physical needs. But spiritually, the spiritual battle is won in prayer. It's one in serving the Lord, all right? That spiritual battle is the one that was there that was necessary to be accomplished. But I want you to notice what the Bible said. Aaron and Hur were there to help Moses accomplish his God-given duty. Those two men, they were there, all right? They were there. Boy, there is a tremendous need in the work of God for more of this rare breed. Ones that will step in and say, I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll help hold those hands up, okay? I'll do that. I'll stand with you, okay? Maybe it'd be, hey, preacher, I'll stand with you in the battle. I'll hold your hands up. I remember years ago, back in the early 80s, when the state was moving against Lester Roloff. And man, there were preachers flew to Corpus Christi from all over the country. And basically, it was, hey, you close him down, we'll open it the next day. And how much room do you have in jail, all right? It's just, we plan to be there. Hey, they were holding up his hands, okay? They were saying, we're with you, all right? Just that encouragement, just to be there, all right? There's a tremendous need for more people like that. More people like that. You can't believe how much help it is and what an encouragement is to the preacher just to see you come through the door. Just to see you, preacher, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'll help you, all right? I remember years ago when my brother was injured in a car wreck. And, man, he was, they'd covered him up on the road for dead. And somebody had saw a little movement, so they put him in an ambulance, took him to the hospital. And, boy, I called a prayer meeting at the church. What a blessing it was to my dad to see everybody show up to pray with him, to pray with him. Hey, you need that kind of help, okay? You need that kind of help. You need the help of those that'll get ready and lend a hand to get the work of God done. Preacher, I'm with you. Hey, fellow Christian, I'm with you. I'll help you. I'll stand with you in this. Listen, many oppose while few support. Many discourage while few encourage. Many criticize while few compliment, all right? Many point out needs, but few pick up the tool to meet the need. Few do that. Many stand and watch while few participate. We'll stand and watch. It's like a government job. They're digging a hole. There's five guys leaning on a shovel and one digging, okay? It seems to be that way sometimes. Hey, listen, a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people. The world's full of critics, but there's not that many that compliment. They compliment. The world's filled with those that would offer discouragement. They would, if you will, they would be happy to throw cold water on you as you're trying to serve God. There'll always be that, all right? You see somebody get on fire for God, seems like there's always somebody won't step up and throw cold water on them. Not many that'll encourage, all right? You know, and like I say, there's a lot of people that go through and say, well, that needs to be done, or that needs to be done. Well, bless God, do it then. Just do it. You can do it, all right? Let me say this to those of you that are involved in the work of God. You may need some help. I believe with all my heart, we see here God already had Aaron and Hur there when the need arose. They were already there, all right? Don't quit. Help's on the way. Don't quit. Help's on the way. You say, well, you know, I don't know if I can, but well, just hang in there. Help's on the way. It'll get there. God's not going to leave you hanging, all right? Now, for those that are spectators, criticizers, discouragers, say, preacher, we're the Wednesday night crowd. Maybe there's somebody watching, all right? Maybe there's somebody there. To the critics, the discouragers, all right? The criticizers, the ones who are spectators. Well, why don't you change your ways? Why don't you decide, hey, I'm going to quit that. I'm going to switch sides in this deal. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to get away from not doing, and I'm going to get involved. Maybe I can't do it all, but I can help. I can hold somebody's arm up, okay? I can hold somebody's arm up. Hey, listen. There may have been times, you know, in the past when we'd be doing work at the church and mentioned to you hanging sheetrock. I know today they screw it in, but in the past days when we were hanging it, they used a hammer and a nail, all right? And you say, well, I can't hit a hammer. I knock a hole in the sheetrock. Well, can you hold the sheetrock up, all right, and let somebody else nail it, all right? I mean, just do what you can do. Change it, the idea. Hey, anyone can do the job of discouraging. Anybody can do the job of criticizing. Anybody. Anybody can oppose. Anybody can do it. There's a lot of people. If that's your job, anybody can step in and take care of your job, all right? And there's plenty to take your place. You don't need to worry about, well, if I don't show up, who will? Don't worry. The discouragers will be there, all right? There's always going to be that. Hey, in Hezekiah's day when they were building the wall, there was always somebody around to criticize. There was always somebody around to criticize. It'll always be that way. Hey, listen, why don't you decide I'm going to get involved? I'm going to be active, and I'm going to do what I can do, and I'm going to change sides in this whole thing. I may not be Moses, but I can be Aaron or I can be Hur. I can help hold the hands up. I don't have the rod, but I can help the guy that's got it. I can help him. I can do my best. Hey, if you don't, it's not going to go well with you at the judgment seat, all right? I mean, it's just not going to go well with you at the judgment seat of Christ. God help us to, as God's people, to decide, I'm going to get involved. Get involved. Here we are today. We look back on Moses and what happened to him and how they dealt with the issues, how they dealt with the problems. Can I say this to you? More trials will come. If you're familiar with the book of Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, you know more trials came. They had more trials. I'd like to stand here and be able to stand here and tell you, man, the rest of the life of Moses, it was easy street. Because everybody got on board with him and said, man, we fought, we won, we beat the Amalekites, and boy, man, what a blessing it is. And Aaron and Hur, y'all helped Moses. And boy, we're just going to carry on like that. But if you've read a little bit further, you know that's not what happened, okay? Trials are going to come. There may be some battles ahead. We may face some battles. You may face some battles. Hey, what are you going to do? First, do like Moses. Exercise some wisdom, would you? Exercise some wisdom. Look around you. Pick out somebody that's got some brains that you can help you. Pick out somebody that's got the spiritual wisdom, the spiritual power, somebody that can pray for you. Pick them out. Be diligent to do your duty. Do whatever it is God's told you to do. Go with it and stay with it. You say, well, I'll get weak, all right? Well, when you get weak and that weakness is about to overwhelm you, hey, look for the help, because I believe God will send it. I believe God will send it. But don't bail out. Don't say, I'm done. I'm done. That's the easiest thing to do. Stay in it, all right? Moses stuck with it. That's why today we honor his name. That's why today he's still one of the greatest men in all the history of the nation of Israel. Why? He just stayed with it. He stayed with it. Now, he exercised some wisdom. He knew how to get a hold of God, but he knew how to pick some men, all right? I believe God helped him in that, all right? I believe God helped him in that. When you're looking for somebody that's going to be able to stand with you, help you, you ought to pray about it. You ought to pray about it. I prayed before I said, Brother Dunbar, come on down here. I prayed about it, but I invited him anyway. I was kidding there. But you have to pray. You got to seek God's will, all right? You have to pray. Listen, don't decide I'm bailing out. If you've been on the criticizing end, try to switch over and become the complimenter, would you? Say, that looks good. Well, I could have done better. Well, since you didn't do it, compliment the one that did it. All right? Compliment the one that did it. Man, that looks great. You did a fine job, all right? Did a fine job. Why don't we just learn to compliment people? Don't criticize and compliment them. Stand with them. Help them out, all right? You find a need, don't go tell somebody about it. Fill the need. Hey, if there's a piece of trash on the floor, you know, let me find Brother Kelly. He's the only guy in the church can pick up a piece of trash. I drove up on the parking lot the other day, trash here. I had to, Brother Kelly, you need to get up here. No, I didn't do that. That would have been goofy. You know? Pick it up! Right? Take care of the things. Heavenly Father, help us. Lord, we read the Bible, but we don't read the Bible for just entertainment. We read the Bible for enlightenment. And Lord, we come and we want something that'll help us in our life, something that we can learn, that we can apply. And Lord, it'll help us to be a better Christian, a better servant for you. Lord, I pray you'd give us the kind of wisdom Moses had. We'd exercise that wisdom. And then, Lord, we'd be diligent to just do what you've given us to do. Just stay with it. Or we may get weak. But Lord, I believe if we do, you'll send somebody to help hold our hands up, to help us out, and to keep us going till the victory's won. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.